Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. The Corinthian Christians had been enriched in two ways, in utterance or speech and in knowledge. The testimony of Christ had been confirmed in them. The expression, the testimony of Christ, means testimony about Christ. The term does not refer to what Christ said about His coming from the Father, His mission on earth, and His glorious second coming, although He taught all these topics and much more. The testimony came from what God and from what others said concerning Christ. Jesus mentioned the testimony of John the Baptist and then added, "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has borne witness of me." Jesus affirms that the Scriptures also bore witness to Him. John 5:36, 37, and 39. The testimony concerning Christ had been confirmed in the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:6. The Greek word rendered confirmed, the bio, means to make to stand, or to make stable, to establish, or to make firm. The word is used of confirming the word with signs and wonders, Mark 16:20. It is also used of Christ confirming the promises God made to the fathers, Romans 15:8. Paul used the term of the Colossian Christians. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Colossians 2:6-7. The Greek in verse 7 is translated established. The author of Hebrews says that the great salvation was confirmed by signs, wonders, different miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2:3-4. When Paul affirmed that the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in the Corinthians, does he mean that God Himself established the testimony? This verse suggests that men can know that the testimony concerning Christ can make our faith stand on solid ground. There is no reason for us to doubt God's goodness and grace revealed in Christ. Over and over, Bible writers assure us that we can know God's plan for saving man, and know that we're saved when we have complied with the terms of the new covenant. Paul expressed that assurance when he wrote to Timothy, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 1 Timothy 1:12. The Bible furnishes an abundance of evidence to prove that the Bible is the Word of God, and that Jesus is the Son of God. In my judgment, there is no stronger argument for these two great truths than the argument from prophecy. One prophecy from the Old Testament will have to suffice in today's study. The great statesman prophet Isaiah lived about 750 years before Christ. Many passages in Isaiah predict the coming and the mission of Jesus Christ. But what could be more unlikely to happen than this prediction? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 7:14. But, as you know from reading both Matthew and Luke, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Matthew 1:21, Luke 1:26-31. If you were figuring the probability of the virgin birth of Christ, what do you suppose it might be? Would it be 1 in 1 million or 1 in 10 million? It would be impossible to figure. And yet the words of the prophet came to pass exactly as he predicted. This one prophecy alone should confirm to every honest person the truthfulness of New Testament Christianity. Prophecy is a miracle that cannot be faked. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.